Tonight we continue with our series lessons from Psalms, and this evening we are going to read three verses from Psalm 40. It's interesting that every time when we talk about church, and they say, "Well, if it's winter, it's too cold to come to church. It's raining to come to church. Now it's summer, it's too hot." I wonder when people, or when we say, "Well, I am too young to go to church." "Oh, I am married, now I have children, I have to work so hard to come to church and be involved. I am too old, I don't have the strength." When we are coming to church. Today, I went to visit a family, a Chinese family, and they have neighbors invited, and I was invited for lunch to pray, and I met a gentleman. He's a retired person from the armed forces, and he looks remarkable well, 80 years old, and he looks very strong. And it was interesting, we were talking about spirituality. He said, "I wonder why military people, that when they retire, most of them, they go into ministry." And I said, and then he didn't know who I was. And I said, "Well, I was in the forces, 18 years serving. And now they said that I serve the Lord." And then we were talking how to approach God. And he was talking about when we are in difficulties, you know, when you are serving in the forces and sometimes you face difficult times, or maybe in your life. Some people approach God only in emergency. Some people approach God when they need a job. They need healing. Here in this psalm, we have a model to present ourselves to God. And let me read just three verses. Let's read it together. I love when, you know, I will imagine that the first church, they didn't have a PowerPoint. You know, they they didn't have microphones. They didn't have drums or keyboard, but they just say it. Let's read together. And the first three verses of Psalm 40. Are you ready? "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." How we approach God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for David who penned this beautiful words. And Father, as we are about to spend this time together in your house, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As I said, some people approach God only in emergency, not even thank him for life. And like this gentleman we were talking this afternoon, and they said, "Wow, it's interesting, when people were in trouble, they will get near to God." And some people, they don't want to study God. They don't want to know anything about God. "Well, today is a wonderful day. We better spend time at the beach and with friends having a lovely barbecue." Well, that's okay. But in time of great fear, many come to him. I always have this picture. I was only 8 years old. It was 1970 something, and we have an earthquake, in Ecuador, and suddenly the people were on the streets, on their knees. Sunday, churches were full. Some people have the wrong approach. They do not want to know about him, his terms and conditions. Say, "Well, if that is Christianity, I don't want it." He doesn't demand great words, but we need to understand his conditions. Humility, confession of sins, repentance. Sometimes people say, "We are worthy, we are okay, we are good citizens, we are good enough." But one of the benefits of reading Psalms is that they present us with pictures of what godly people in the past have experienced and how they guard through them. And when we read those stories, it gives us encouragement. And this is the case of David. David speaks about how he approached God. A few weeks ago, we reflect on Psalm 8. That was one, his conversion. Now, today we are going to read about Psalm 40. In verse 1, set the scene. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. This is David's predicament. He's in a terrible state. We don't know what's going on with him. Well, the only thing we can imagine that he's a teenager. He's in the country of Bethlehem. He is the eighth son of Jesse. And he's from a good family. They had money. He's okay. The Bible said that he was handsome. I don't know. He was strong. He was intelligent. Well, he should be intelligent too. Very well educated. And he was a brave young man. You remember when he was looking after sheep? He's a good man. He's a musician. He is a composer. He is a military leader. He was a natural leader. I will imagine that he was a confident young man. But this was not the holy story. Something was going on in his life. Something was happening in his life. In this beautiful psalm, David gives us three states that are described here. How we approach God. And the first is that he realized that he was hopeless. Helplessness without God. Verse 2 says, he lift me out of the pit. We have the picture that is dark, mud, mire. It's a horrible picture. Here is that he was in a dreadful and noisy pit. That's the picture he paints here. He cannot get out from that place. But he's young, he's handsome, he's intelligent, he has money. He cannot get out. Let's turn to in the Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 69. We have the same picture in Psalm 69. And verses 1 and 2, the same kind of picture of David. You know, the picture we have here in Psalm 40, we have in Psalm 69. He says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the mire depth. Where there is no foothold, I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. The same picture. He cannot get out. Wait a minute, he's a young man, strong, intelligent. What's going on? Carry on in Psalm 69, verse 5 says, you God know my folly, my guilt is not hidden from you. Maybe the only thing we can see is a young man, a strong man, intelligent man. But this is a description of what's going on. And you can carry on reading in Psalm 69. In verse 15 says, do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depth swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Now, we know that maybe people admire David because he's young, you know, he's a good musician, fame, appreciation. But he realized something. He realizes that he is a sinner. He doesn't like, you know, he said, well, the voices outside says, you are okay. But inside says, something is wrong. And those are the voices that sometimes we are going to hear in our lives. They are competing voices demanding attention. It happens when spiritual things comes into our minds. Oh, God's tough. I don't want to hear. And we dismiss things. You know, I was a little bit, to be honest, I was with this gentleman this afternoon. I was sitting next to him. And I want to be tactful. I didn't want to ruin the conversation. You know, but gradually, sorry, he was entering into those conversations. And then I said, he wanted to hear it. I hope he will be here very soon. You know why? Because I sensed that he wanted to know more. Because he says, now I'm not interested in material things anymore. I know there is something else. David realized the same. These voices came to us. Some people, oh, Christianity brush it off. I don't want to hear about that. I'm okay. I finished my degree. I have my job. I have my own business. I am okay. I'm married. I have my children. Only material things are important, but you are made with a soul. You are made in the image of God. Are you content only with material things, my friend? We need to be careful here. Because one day, our soul, we have to be in a place for eternity. Your soul will never function if you don't fill it with spiritual things. You will have emptiness. You will have some peace. But there is something missing. David is a successful young man in my eyes. Something was missing. You know what is this? Conversion. Conversion is missing. David is aware of the needs of God. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. This is what David is describing as a teenager. This is another description of his conversion. There is a voice that said, don't worry, you are in charge of your life. Don't worry about that spiritual stuff. You are in charge of your life. David says, there is something going on. What happened after this? He sees that sin is the greatest problem. He needs to be free. He recognized his condition. The Bible talks about the fall. The condition of the lost man is described as that of being on a horrible pit. In those days, pits were used for the storage of grain and other material. Sometimes it's like a cistern there, and the pit will be empty and unused for years and years. So it will be smelly, it will be dark, and then only the although it was covered, may have a mouth on top, and they have walls there. But that is the place that David is. He feels that he's at the bottom. And you know what? They could be there for years. Some people, if you fall there, if nobody's there, you will die there. That is the picture that David is painting for us. This is the picture of humankind in the Garden of Eden. When Adam ate the forbidden tree of the garden, he fell, and through him, all humankind fell. And Paul talked about the fall. He says, in Adam, all die. We are all on that pit, spiritually. We cannot leave. Wait a minute, I haven't killed anyone. I am a good neighbor. I am a good worker. Sin enter into the world by one man, but also the way out enter through another man. We are helpless in our fallen state. We are lost without God. Now, another picture about this pit is that the pits were made of inverted walls. The opening at the top was small, a very small, like a door there, and the floor was large, and this was a very horrible place to be. But now, the only way, you cannot see anything, but if you were at the bottom, you will hear a voice say, where are you? Are you okay? They will say, yes, I am here. So you have to talk. So the person at the bottom, nothing can be seen around. They said, I am here. Please help me. That's the picture David said. Spiritually, that's a description of what is happening to us. The psalmist says this, that is what God did for him. He was a victim of the fall. He was imprisoned by the wall, but he heard God's call and answered him. He realized his condition. I was hopeless. If you were at the pit, it's not like we see in the Avengers, you know, that sometimes we have a Spider-Man, you know, going, to, you know, climbing up to the top. I cannot do that. But David paint the picture of being helpless. But then he realized in the next verse that help is from God. God, David acknowledges that God has helped him. And there are three things David says here that he has done. He said, he turned to me and heard my cry. Help! God was there to answer. Conversion. When we realize that something going on, the Spirit of God knock away my prayer, my pride, and in knocking away the columns that support our pride, our sinfulness. I am okay. I am okay. No, my friend, you are not okay. And it's hard. Sometimes pride doesn't allow. It's only when we really realize that we are there on that pit, and then we ask for help. I remember so clearly. That's the reason why I'm very tactful when I'm talking to military people, you know. When I was talking to this man this afternoon, I remember one of my, well, he was not my friend at the beginning. He was one of my senior chief petty officer. He was so arrogant, so good, you know, and a very nice person afterwards. But every time I share with him spiritual things, he will be annoying. He will make my life impossible. But when, like David, understood that his help comes from the Lord, it was so beautiful to hear his voice and said, God bless you, my brother. Conversion. So David said, he turned to me and heard my cry. That's what he's saying here. He knows that he had been in the pit. He knows that he needs help. And the Holy Spirit is at work. And his pride is not there anymore. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. I waited. I clung to the Lord. I depended completely on him. David says, I realized I needed his forgiveness. Not 50%. I needed 100% his help. He belongs to me. Oh, I'm okay with Christianity. But when you talk about those moral things, I know that. I don't want to hear that. That's what David is saying here. He heard my cry. He made a plea. He cried. He listened to me. David came as a humble man. This is what we need to do when we come to God. God inclined unto me. He was eager to hear my cry. Let us be encouraged that his ear is still listening when we want to cry. Say, God, I cannot stop doing this. I have this addiction. God can heal you. I cannot stop being unforgiven. He can help you. Now, David says in verse 2, the second thing is that he lift me up, he says. Verse 2, he says, he lift me up. He lift me out. He brought me out, said the King James Version. It is not enough for God just to listen. He is ready to rescue. That's what Jesus did on Calvary on that happy day. He came and rescued. He came down. He became man for us. He brought me up. He came down and brought me up. He came and rescued me. The Hebrew means he descended into hell, my personal hell, the pit I was living, and brought me out. I cannot get away from here. I cannot get out. God can help me. Sin must be punished. This happened on the cross. But he wants to give forgiveness. And David says, he led me. Verse 2, he led me. He established his way. You know, when God called you, my father used to say, is that God never called lazy people. God called you. God is going to take you out of that pit. He's going to use you. But I had been, you know, I met in Chagwell Heath in London, I met a wonderful ministry. They help young people who are trapped. They call it the postcode trap. I didn't know that kind of underground culture. You know, in London, there are young people who are in gangs, and they, because they belong to a particular postcode, they belong to those gangs, they are marked forever. So what happens if they move to another postcode? They are in trouble. I didn't know about that. I only see young people on the street. And now this man with his wife, try to remember his name. Anyway, this man with his wife, years ago, he came to one of the local churches to give his testimony. I invited him to give his testimony back in a cafe church. And when I saw the picture of this man, who had been in prison many times, his lovely wife, has been in drugs, and you can see her face wasted away. About 12 or 15 years early. And now to see this lovely couple, no younger, my age now, helping these young people trapped on the postcode. That is what Dave is talking about. He led me. Now they have something to do. Oh, but I don't know what to do. These people have a wonderful ministry. All of us has a wonderful ministry if we allow God to help us. This is what Dave is saying. And you know, something happens when we allow him to deal with us. The final picture is happiness and joy is in God. This is our last picture we have here in this Psalm 40. David was not feeling the worship. Life was not going as planned. Yes, something happened. Something changed for David. So much so that he tells us in verse 3, he said, shall we read together this verse? He put this is what the Lord does. You know, when I saw the picture of this wonderful couple, you know, years ago, at that time, 12 years or 15 years before, you know, that you can say, well, these people are wasted. These people are going down. Now they have a new joy, a song in their lives. Being blessed today is wonderful. That's what the Lord, even if you don't sing very well, oh, by the way, we are organizing the carol service. A traditional carol service, we need voices. If you don't know how to sing, sign, and then you're going to have our service here of joy and happiness. This is what the Lord does. Even if you don't sing very well, you know, I hear testimonies of people. Sometimes people, you go on the street, but I don't recommend that. And they start singing away. Sometimes just by they singing, some people say, oh, what is all about? That's the picture David sent. He put a new song in my life. The psalmist burst forth in joy. This joy is spontaneous. There is nothing forced about. This happiness in God expresses itself in a song. He had put a new song in my mouth. When God puts a song in a person's mouth, it has to come out. This makes a person sing when he or she is not even a singer. So don't worry, you can join the group and to sing. To have salvation is to have a song. To have Jesus in the heart is to have a joy in the personality. The world is afflicted with the self-ascribing for happiness. Some people, they are happy if they are only on top of the world. When your business go down, when you're going to have redundancy, when your health is going away, what is going to happen to you? David said he put a new song in my mouth. On those days when you were not feeling, you know, when those days when you feel that, oh, I don't want to go to church. First and foremost, admit it, that you are helpless without God. Don't deny it. Admit it to yourself. Admit to God. Admit to a good friend, I am struggling today. And come and run to the Lord and say, God, help me. David said he will hear you because he has promised that he will heal you. And there is a wonderful promise. It said, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false God. Some people have false God. Is their God is their knowledge. Their God is their wealth. Their God is their family. Their God is themselves. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And when many people see how you go about in life, they will turn to God. We don't need to go and knocking doors to evangelize people. You know, people will come like that to church. Because they see how you live. They see your testimony. They see how we go about. This is what David said. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false God. And say, many will see and fear the Lord. What a wonderful promise for Penrod. So let us recall our helplessness without God. We cannot scale the wall and escape. We cannot do it on our own strength. If you do not know the Lord, He will save you. He will do it for you. Are you struggling with something in your life today? You can be saved. He can do what no other can do for you. Not even psychology, not even social works, not even the government. God can do it for you. It's interesting that this project that they have in London, you know, they take young people that even the government cannot do anything. And when they really want to change, they change. You know what they use? The Word of God. In Whitechapel Mission, they do that. He will lift you up. He who will give you a purpose. God's great salvation is one joy. Our greatest joy is the salvation. He said, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. My friend, maybe you are in the pit. So you can realize that there is an offer from God. He wants to give you eternal life. Come to Him. Why not to follow David's example? May the Lord help us to learn from some that we have a model to present ourselves to God. The answer is ours. We can decide to remain there, or we can say, God, save me. And He will be there to lift you up, to leave you, to let you into a new life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful picture of David, trapped in a pit, dark and smelly. Father, sometimes we feel like that. I pray for that person that feels that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. I pray like David, they can follow the example of David. He or she can follow the example of David. That he or she can cry out for help. 100%. And we know that you will be there to lift him up, to lift her up, and give this person a new purpose for your glory. So, Father, thank you for your word. And we pray for your blessing upon us, that we can be people that we can show to other people that we trust in you and we want to honor you. So, Father, be with us as we go into this new week so we can be that people and attract other people into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.